All right, so guys, welcome back. This is another episode, and the last episode we were able to establish a few things. I learned so much despite being a field that I'm not so strange to. Yes, and we were able to establish how viruses are, or what they really are, and how they like replicate and come about and take over the host cell. And we tried as much as possible to give a basic explanation to trying to relate humans to viruses on the host cell and to our own body and Mother Earth. It's really crazy for me. Now, the reason for this topic is so that we can actually pay closer, more attention to how we act as humans, because it's crazy for you to tell me I'm a virus to planet Earth. And I might first disagree at first, but like on closer look, I look at how my actions actually do more harm than good to planet Earth, from plastic pollutions to using things that eat up the ozone layers to using resources like fuel, which of course it's beyond my control. I mean, I have to use fuel of some sort, and we've been able to actually establish all of that. And yes, we still have Favor with us on this particular episode. Thank you so much. He's a microbiologist from the University of Lagos. Now, Favor, we've established a lot of things, right? And there are still so many other things to actually try and look at. Now, okay. I'm thinking, now, we say that humans are acting as viruses to the Earth because of our actions. And we've related how it is that viruses actually just take over the host cell, use, and it's either one of two things. It's either the virus kills the host or the host kills the virus.
Yeah. Right? Yes, that's very true.
And you also stated how it is that Earth's capacity is gradually becoming out of reach, like we are overpopulated of some sort, right?
Yes, okay. That's true.
Now, can viruses be treated? Because I'm trying to just relate everything to humans, and if this whole action can like really be treated, or it's just something we have to live with, or it's going to be one of the two where we either die or planet Earth dies. So what's the plan? Can viruses actually be treated?
Okay, it's a painful part, but there are some viruses that could be managed.
Okay.
We could manage them to some extent. There are some viruses that have vaccines that could prevent the viruses from infecting you. But the truth is that externally, there is no cure.
Oh, wow.
What we do is that we try to make our body system a better fighter. If the body cannot cure the virus, that's all. If the body can't fight the virus, to defend it, because the body has its own system with which it fights viruses.
Oh wow! Okay. Because, yeah.
Yes. Now, if that system is compromised, that means the virus would win over the body system.
Okay.
So what we do in treatment is that we try to stimulate the immune system to be able to fight off those viruses.
Okay.
Now, we only manage those people with viruses. For example, only recently I was reading through a magazine and I heard that the U.S. discovered a cure for HIV that is still going through clinical trials. Definitely to keep going through clinical trials, because these viruses, they keep mutating.
Let me cut you there. Okay, I just hold your thoughts, please. Now, so we look at all these things, and we say the viruses keep mutating, and I can't just help but wonder how it is that many a times planet Earth has given us signs that we are doing way beyond our capacity and what we're meant to be doing. Like these signs, we mutate and ignore them, or find new ways of exploiting Earth and find new ways of doing things that are like just, you know, are we saying we can be managed with our actions and how we actually relate on planet Earth?
Now, the truth is that we could actually manage ourselves, because we are serving as viruses to the Earth. Now, we could be managed, we could be curtailed. The things we do could be restricted. How we treat the Earth could be managed. The pollution will cause, those things we do that actually have a bad effect on the Earth could be managed. Actually, they cannot be taken off totally, but they could be managed. That's the truth.
They cannot be taken off totally. So is it now a thing whereby in the management is just like increasing the time it would take for everything to blow up in our faces? I'm trying to be positive here. You know, when you say management, is it like, okay, it will just increase the time span it would take for it to blow? Or now, it's something that would end up lasting?
Okay. Practically, from the look of things, now, just like a time span, we're just giving it a time span. Now, the earth is meant to rejuvenate. Now,
okay.
If we can manage the virus, maybe the X rejuvenation will match up to the exploitation in the earth. You understand?
Yeah, I do that.
So you get, so the rejuvenation of the earth will be matching up to what the virus is inflicting on it. So it will be the body survives and the virus survives.
Oh, wow.
The both survive just because the virus is being managed. So the virus is not overexerting on the earth, and the earth is not overexerting on the virus. So they are both existing just because they decide to, they come to an agreement to manage their effects. You get?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is how it works, actually. Because the management is something that, if you look at the long run, obviously we'll manage. We're just giving a time span. If the earth is not able to rejuvenate at the speed with which we exploit the earth, then it's a one-way thing. The earth will lose. Then if the earth can no longer stand, we too will go. Because this is it. If the body carrying the virus does no longer exist, that means the virus automatically does not exist.
I do understand your concept, and I think I would really love to explore a little bit more to understanding what it means for our actions that seem a whole lot parasitic on Earth, because I thought about it so deeply and it got me concerned. And yes, we know we're not really new to hearing climate change, we're not really real to hearing all of these things, but we don't know the effects to every of our actions, and we can't really label all the effects. Now, from your own professional aspects, could you like give advices on how, you know, probably you think, okay, so in relation to how you think they want to manage a virus, like a viral infection, and how you can now relate that to humans trying to manage their actions on Earth? I don't know if I'm clear with that.
Yeah, okay, this is it. Now, the management in the body system for the virus is carried out by regulatory cells. We have regulatory bodies in the cells. Now, if we can have regulatory bodies existing on Earth, managing certain things. For example, I'll give you a very clear example. I grew up in Ajibule. We could see something like diesel ramp flooding a lot because of drainage blockage.
Yeah.
Now, this drainage blockage is caused by plastics we put into the water bodies.
Yeah.
We dispose dirt, like practically dispose dirt into the canals where water are meant to pass. You get. Now, if these things can be channeled, now this plastic could be recycled.
Oh,
this dirt that we're putting to block the system could be recycled into something else. Now, in one way, we have saved the earth from pollution.
Okay.
That is one way. Now, those things we burn, incineration, for example, we burn fuels, we burn a lot of things in Africa as a whole. Let me just use the word, I'm using Africa because other parts of the continent are kind of moving away from burning fuels. But in Africa, for example, we burn fuels a lot, and we give up this gases, the greenhouse gases that cause global warming.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if there could be a way to manage this burning, can the burning stop? Can we stop burning fossil fuels? Can we use another energy source? You get, there could be a conversion of energy source. Instead of burning, why not use solar energy? Why not use chemical energy? Why burn? Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
No, so that is the kind of management. So there could be a regulation on how much of these things can human give to the earth? How much effect can human put to the earth? It can be curtailed by certain rules and regulations, and in the long run, we'll be saving ourselves also.
Yeah, I really do understand. And in fact, I think I'm so elated because I understand that, okay, there are already bodies that are like in place in doing all of this. But this could also still serve as a reminder for everyone listening out there to this right now that your actions in relation to planet Earth is more or less very parasitical and you're acting as a virus. Now, it would be very... It wouldn't feel right to end this episode without having to talk about the current global pandemic. I know we spoke a little about it in the previous one where we were talking about how it is that, okay, this is the new strain and everything. And we need facts. We need things that can help us. I mean, not everyone knows the technicality to what's happening. But I'm hearing that all these things, the signs are not known. Just the way we cannot see the immediate actions of our effects on how we act on planet Earth. Now, there's a current pandemic going on, guys, and it's been so bad. Like, it's literally been everywhere, almost everywhere in the world. Now, could you please tell us a little bit more about the COVID and specific steps and actions that could actually work long term for us as a people to be able to, one, manage if gotten, two, prevent correctly, and three, to be able to also spread good living habits and information to others that are not even aware at all?
Okay, looking at the COVID-19, like I said in the previous episode, I actually said the coronavirus is a virus that has been in existence for a long time. But the reason why it's called COVID-19 is because a new strain was covered. Now, when we look about this strain, we're looking at a new form. So it has a new character. It has the way it acts. Now, it's more destructive compared to the other virus, the other strains of coronavirus that have been existing. And that makes it more dangerous than other coronavirus strains. Now, the sad part of the coronavirus is that we have the asymptomatic strains. So, you could have the virus and it might not show symptoms for about 14 days. I was going through an article and I had a particular strain stayed for 23 days. And I was shocked. You know, before the symptom came out, it was about 23 days.
Now, wow. And during that period, is damage going on? Damage is going on during that period?
Damage is really, really going on, like in the body, it's going on drastically. Now, when we say 23 days, we are saying it's the incubation period. That means it's the time which the virus will infect the cell, destroy the cell, take over the cell, and start producing billions of cells. So by the time the symptoms are showing up, it has already taken up the particular system.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's quite sad that most of us still don't believe that COVID-19 is real. But the truth is that it is real. But we could save ourselves from having this infection. Now, the truth about this virus is that it is in the same family. It can be grouped in the same family as the normal cold virus, the flu virus we have normally that we recover from naturally. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, in being in the same group, it means that your body can fight off the virus by itself. But it depends on if your immune system is sound and strong.
Okay.
Your immune system must be strong, I mean extremely sound, to be able to defend and defeat the virus by itself. So ordinarily, if the virus infects you, let's say someone gets infected with the virus, now if the person's immune system is strong enough, the person would just go off without any symptoms.
Yeah.
But actually, the body has fought the battle, you know. But the truth is that once you're infected with coronavirus, the new strain we have, the COVID-19, even if your body wins over the virus, it leaves a mark. It kind of depreciates the ability of the lungs to function.
Okay.
Yeah. If you get infected with the virus, even if you recover, your faking of 20% of the capacity of your lungs naturally. It just goes on.
Yeah.
Because it will cause fibrosis. It will cause different damages to the lungs. Now, wow. But the main deal is prevention. Prevention is more cost effective, better, safer than treatment or recovery. It's better to prevent the virus. And ways by which you can prevent the virus is very, very simple. Just make sure your personal hygiene is at its peak. At its peak, if it can be at 100%, it's perfect. You could make it 110%. Yeah. So good. Make sure you wash your hands at intervals. Like, for every 20 minutes, you should wash off your hands and avoid your hands coming in contact with your face.
Yeah.
Because the virus affects the lungs, and the passage to the lungs is via the mouth or through the nostril. So just avoid contact with your face. Your hands should not be doing anything around your face.
That's quite difficult,
but for our safety, to be safe, to be alive, just avoid contact with your face. Your hands should be washed at all times. And as you're washing your hands, you should have a sanitizer just right behind you. Yeah. And I was talking to a doctor friend, I think it was Saturday, I was talking to a doctor friend last week Saturday, and we were talking about anxiety. As much as you want to greet people, you could just forget about the handshake, forget about the hug for now. No cold would do. You could just hi instead of a hug or an handshake. Just prevent contact for now.
Oh, okay.
And one other thing that, it's still ongoing. I'm still reading about it, but I think it's actually a very nice preventive method. Is that we always take water.
Water.
Because now the virus is going to move, even though it gets into your mouth.
I heard that too.
Yeah. The virus is going to move, and it's not going to just walk in like in seconds. It's going to move in minutes and hours. If you take water at intervals, at let's say 10-minute intervals, now what you'll do is that you're washing down the virus into the stomach.
Now the pH
of the stomach is acidic, strictly acidic, and the virus cannot survive in such an environment.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. And then there was one thing too I also heard about normal your lifestyle and how well you eat on a normal day, the kind of exercises you do, not the kind of exercises you do, the kind of lifestyle you live, basically. Ensure you're doing exercises, ensure you're eating the right thing, ensure you are being observant with your body. And at this period, you should not really take for granted any slight form of unwellness or sick feeling.
Yeah, because all these lifestyles, the food you eat, they are meant to boost our immune system.
Okay.
The lifestyle you live, the kind of lifestyle you live will determine how strong your immune system will be. Let me give an example. A smoker
is
predisposed to infection because the immune system is already down.
Low.
Compared to someone that does not smoke and does not drink and eats good food.
Yeah.
Now, I will actually advise, this is not a time to do dry fasting, this is not a time to do, to skip meals. This is the time to eat good food. Like, you should eat morning, afternoon, and night. Standard balanced diet. Get vegetables, get proteins.
Yeah.
Not just carbohydrates alone.
Alright, so thank you so much, Favour. It was really nice having you on this episode. I know for one thing is I hope you were able to learn a lot. I, for one, I've actually gotten to learn a whole lot. From the aspect of how it is that we have actually acted for so long in a very bad manner to planet Earth, and we would be having to look at our actions and how well they actually affect in total planet Earth. Talking about management, yes, we just have to keep managing our actions, managing ourselves, intentionally restricting, exploiting, and being over zealous, allow me to use that word, in all our activities. And for the explanations you gave on COVID-19, thank you so much. I think people out there are a little bit more equipped with the right knowledge on what they need to know about the whole thing. It's serious. Yeah. It's serious. But nonetheless, do you think it's something that should cause fear?
I won't say it's something that should cause fear, but it's something that should cause concern.
Okay.
It's something that should cause serious concern because it's pandemic. To say it's pandemic, it means it's affecting the whole world at the same time. And the rate of spread is quite, I don't really like what you say, but it's so fast. It's so, so fast. And it could move. It's so, so fast. It could stay in air for 2 hours. So, if something could stay in air for 2 hours, that tells you how fast it could spread.
That's fine. Wow. All right. Thank you, guys. This is the end of the episode. Yes, this episode was quite long and it was very educative. Favor, thank you once more for having your time to be here to actually discuss these things. And yes, we should not forget that we are Homo sapiens. We are the Earth's largest and only virus, actually. And even our actions have affected the counterparts of other species that are existing. And how you see that other species are going extinct, wildfires, natural disasters, and all of that. So the more we check on our attitudes, the more we check on our activities, the more we can better help planet Earth. And for the ongoing viral pandemic, do well to follow through with all that has been said and follow through with all the informations given till we come your way again next time on Intellectual Health. Please stay safe because this episode was more medical inclined, and goodbye.
Bye.
All right, Favor, bye.
Goodbye. Take care.